This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Matt, the Steelers will practice today over at Heinz Field. Then they will be off tomorrow, and it's time for their first game.
Yeah, how about that?
Finally there.
And I don't mean to burst anyone's bubble, but there's nothing to do with the Steelers, but the Hall of Fame game's always very anticlimactic for me, as is the start of training camp. Yeah. Like, there are these milestones you get to, like, oh, camp's here. And then you'd watch practice, like, they're not doing a whole lot. Or you get to the Hall of Fame game, and it is live football. I mean, it's certainly better because it's the Steelers. But don't get your hopes up too much. I mean, you're not going to see a ton. But it's been a while since I've been able to react to a preseason game. I'm pretty psyched about that.
Yeah, and I want to see, you know, a lot of these young guys you know, we've seen. The Steelers aren't going to – Mike Tomlin, we'll talk later today, and he's not going to play – Maybe very few of the starters. I know. You know, Kendrick Green will be out there, and I assume at this point that Kendrick Green's going to be.
I think we call him their starting center. You know, right? It's not set.
They're not going to say it yet, but right. I think that's where this whole thing is headed. I don't know that we're going to see many other frontline guys. Maybe some Alex Highsmith, or maybe
I mean, that's about guys the level nature. Of guy we might expect.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I don't think we'll see Najee.
No, you're not going to see Najee Harris.
Right.
And you wouldn't
probably James Washington's the best receiver. And
yeah,
things like that.
That kind of things of that nature. And it'll be the same for the Cowboys. I mean, you're not going to see any of their frontline guys. But it's an opportunity for Steeler fans. I mean, we've been writing about a lot of these guys throughout the course of the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Dan Moores, the Ulysses Gilberts,
Anthony
McFarlane's, guys of that
Buddy
nature.
Johnson,
we're going to play a lot.
Yeah, I would think Lane plays a lot.
Pierre.
Yeah. Safeties, Gilbert. Those defensive linemen we talked about, the Davis and Bugs.
That are fighting for
those guys.
Roster spots,
right,
yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you're them, it's a great opportunity to play a lot of snaps and show – hey, I'm not going to wear down after two series. Or
for some
of
these guys, Matt,
flash in the pan.
They haven't played many snaps.
No,
in two
not
years
since college.
You know, for these second year guys, for a guy like Pierre, for a guy like a Henry Mondu or an Isaiah Bugs.
Third year in the league, he's never strung a lot of snaps together.
Yeah, you're out there for a couple of snaps and they pull you back out. You're out there for a couple of snaps and they pull you. You know, you're back off the field. So this is an opportunity for them to kind of show the coach. You know, I can be out there for 15 or 20 consecutive plays, and here it is. This is what
give me three series or a whole half.
Play 15 in a row is going to look the same as play one in terms of consistency.
And that's huge. I mean, that's why I mentioned it, actually, because you see these guys in spot detail. It's like, okay, they come off the bench. You know, just put yourself in their shoes. You're jumping around. You're excited to get in there. You finally get in. You have your best play. Or, you know, maybe you're even too energetic at times, too. And as opposed to, okay, let's settle in, play snap after snap, show that I can, you know.
Coaches want consistently.
Right.
They want that consistency.
The highlight plays are wonderful.
Yeah.
But if you have three busts over a course of a 30-play series and one superstar, you know, Sports Center play, you're minus two.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, unless that superstar play was a touchdown,
right,
and you're going to do that every game. You know, that's why they want the consistency.
Like, right.
You know, okay, so you had that interception, you returned for a touchdown, but you gave up three touchdowns on you.
Right, you're jumping every ball and trying to get, you know, it, on SportsCenter, basically.
It's the Marcus Peters thing.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. And that's, you know, the coaches, the word trust to me is gigantic in the coach-player relationship, and trust is only really earned in these situations by seeing it play after play after play. I trust that you won't hurt us out there. That can be good enough. You know,
yeah.
Just do your, you know, not even
do your job.
Do your job. Don't, you know, freelance. You know, don't take it upon yourself. I mean, you're here to hold down the fort. So we'll see. But I think that's the kind of stuff you want to look for.
Yeah, I think so as well. You know, so there's some guys there, as I mentioned, that I'm interested to see. You know, you want to see what they look like. against another team. You know, the quarterbacks, you're going to see probably a lot of Dwayne Haskins. You'll probably see a good amount of Mason Rudolph, I would think, for at least a quarter. And maybe two quarters of Haskins and, you know, a quarter of Josh Dobbs. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
You know, I think, you know, when you're looking at quarterback depth charts, and that's a big thing around the league right now, but, you know, you're hearing a lot of Carson Wentz stuff and, and you know, where's, you know, you know, are they going to trade for Nick Foles? And you heard from Nick Foles yesterday talking to the media about it. And so
the Houston debacle and, you know, Dak Prescott's fighting an injury. You know, he's certainly not going to play in this game. And there's Lamar Jackson on the screen right now. He's on the COVID list.
He hasn't played yet. Yeah, he hasn't practiced.
So, a lot of that stuff going on.
Yeah. I think Minnesota's got their top two quarterbacks are Mond and Cousins are both on the COVID list right now because they had a close. I think Mond has COVID and
close contact
Cousins, Cousins was a close contact. So, you know, that
there's still a lot of that going on.
There's some of that stuff going around as guys reported back. I can't imagine, like, how are the Vikings holding practice?
I was just sitting thinking, like, what are you doing like practice that without Mond or Cousins?
Yeah, that holds everything. You know, they had to go out and sign just a guy to be a fourth quarterback, I believe, just to be able to practice.
Just to be able to practice and throw the ball.
That sets the whole team back.
That's bad. Yeah, I mean, that's a struggle to me. Well, I mean, it opens the door for somebody else. I mean, whoever the third guy was, I should know that off the top of my head. I don't remember. And then you add somebody else that was certainly going to be getting preseason snaps that was on the street recently.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You want him in there running a practice that, you know, is simulating something, you know, not looking like a guy who just stepped in off the street and is, okay, you gotta step in and run plays.
You gotta run plays and make throws and, you know, give the defense looks and try to make this young receiving core besides our top two guys better. And, you know, it's a challenge. I mean, not as challenging as what the league faced last year, but it's a challenge. I mean, you know, the Steelers have done that without a center, right?
Yeah,
a practice or two, you know.
And so they've had a couple practices where they're, you know, taking offensive tackles and put them in, you know, and that's you have a plan there, but nobody has
a good plan.
You're not getting that. Nobody, like the Steelers in the one practice were down to like their fourth and fifth string centers.
Right, I remember.
Guys who weren't centers, but they were playing center just to get you by, get you through the practice.
Hey, son, you want to make a name for yourself and try to snap?
You can't do that with a quarterback. Like, who's your fifth string quarterback in camp? Like,
right.
You know, you're putting a defensive back there. It's the Broncos situation.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be able to at least pass the ball so we can do 70% of our stuff today. I don't know, maybe a longer individual periods. I don't know, but, man, that's tough.
Yeah, that would certainly set you back. But
I would think Dallas, you see nobody, though. I mean,
yeah.
Well, they're brand-name guys. Their offense are brand-name guys. I mean, like on defense, you're not going to see Lawrence and those types. But the more I think about it, they did have a huge draft class, and they're implementing a new defense. So maybe you see a lot of their young rookies. Maybe Micah Parsons plays a little.
A little.
But those big corners they drafted are projects.
They may look at this the same way that, you know, he may play a series.
Like a series, yeah.
Yeah. Go out, okay, go make a couple of plays, Micah, and then we're going to get you out of there. Because, I mean, everybody's been raving about him.
Yeah, so all the reports have been good.
Then again, on a defense that's as bad as that.
Yeah, and he should stand out.
He's an immense
athlete. I mean, that's no shock. I mean, he's a very impressive physical specimen, and I think he's atop the defensive rookie of the year wagering, you know, the odds right now. I get that. So I hope he does play. I want to watch him.
Yeah, we'll have two of the favorites.
For
those rookie of the year awards. We're not going to see Najee Harris at all. I'll be shocked.
How much do you think he plays all preseason?
I think a little bit. We talked to him over the weekend, and we played it back yesterday. He said that he wants to play as much as he can in the preseason to kind of get his feet wet and get the speed of the game kind of stuff.
He wants to do everything he possibly can on and off the field football-wise. I think you got to reel him in.
I think maybe he gets 5 carries.
For the whole preseason?
For the whole preseason.
Yeah, I was going to say 3 series, something like that. You know, probably dresses next week.
I think
maybe.
I think you'd like to see him when Ben Roethlisberger plays.
Yeah.
For pass protection purposes. I want to see, okay.
Are you certain Ben will play?
I think at some point you want to get him at least a quarter behind the offensive
line.
Probably
that week 3 game.
We've moved a little bit closer to seeing that offensive line on the field together. Mm-hmm. Everybody was in pads yesterday. That was the first time that's happened in this camp.
Safe to say that the number one O-line probably won't be together on Thursday?
No. That's three of those guys, you know, Banner practiced a little bit yesterday, but Dotson and Okorafor still haven't. Yeah. I think when they get back Saturday and get back on the practice field Saturday, I think that's when you start to see that those guys get on the field.
Either. Okay. I would like to see them next week, though. I mean, that's 7 days away. I mean, that's also a Thursday. I would like to see the number one, maybe not a ton. I mean, I'm a big believer more and more, and I didn't used to be this way. But 17 games and the way the league is, I rest everybody in the preseason.
Yeah.
But I would like to see the number one line start the second preseason game. O-line.
Yeah, I think maybe you see that. By game three, they're definitely going to be out
there.
That'd
be good, yeah. Especially if Ben's going to go out there, you can't have three starters or two starters.
I don't see – you know, Mike Tomlin's never been a guy to do what like Sean McVay did a couple of years ago and not play –
He shut them all down.
He didn't play any starters in the preseason. Right. Tomlin's never been that guy.
He hasn't. But this team, as the whole league, has drifted closer to the McVay – you know, strategy than the old school strategy.
Yeah, I think the issue with that is that every game in the regular season is so meaningful that you can't have your players warming up to it for the first couple weeks of the season.
There is this, and Belichick seems to do it a lot, use that first month to really get a pulse of your team. And like I mentioned Belichick because over the years sometimes you've seen him shuffle in offensive line combinations through the first month until he settles in on one. And I guess that works if you're hot down the stretch.
Well, and I think that works if you have Brady, who's who gets the ball out quickly and isn't going to You know, he knows protections. You're not going to fool him with anything. He's not going to take a big hit on a sack.
Right. But I mean, Tomlin and Belichick over their careers have both certainly shown that they realize late in the season and going into the playoffs is the time to be the healthiest and when it's most important. But you're right. That's always kind of bothered me a little bit because week one means the same in the standings as week 15.
Absolutely. They all count.
You know what I mean? You only get 17 of them. Just because you get one more doesn't mean they don't matter.
And you open the season in Buffalo. You know, that's a that's a big game to start the season with. You know, we talked about a couple weeks ago about the schedules for the AFC North teams. If you would happen to win that game in Buffalo – well, now that's a pretty big win.
It's a pretty big win. I mean, even if you don't win the North, it has
playoff implications
of conference record and things like that that aren't far down.
Common opponents when that comes into play, things of that nature that those are going to be important when it comes down to tiebreakers, all that stuff.
I mean, if it's the Patriots and Steelers for that seventh wild card spot, and the Patriots are 0-2 against Buffalo, and the Steelers are 1-0. Could go a long way at a tiebreaker, things like that. I mean, obviously, every game matters.
Yeah, if it were an NFC team,
then
I'd say okay, that's a little less important.
It is,
but
it's very important, though. I mean, so in a way, I'm talking out both sides of my mouth because I'm more worried about preseason health than I am them being their absolute sharpest on the opening kickoff.
Yeah,
but it does always worry me that some people take this approach like, the first month of the season doesn't mean as much as the last. Yeah, it does.
I know Kevin Colbert, one of the reasons why the Steelers have live tackling in their practices is because they feel that, to replicate what you're going to see in a regular season, your body has to get conditioned to being hit.
Absolutely.
To not be hit the entire preseason and then go into week one and all of a sudden, here comes – pick a guy, Jerry Hughes,
whoever it is,
to take your head off. That's
that's
quite a bit to ask.
The thing that I don't envy the coaches nowadays, though, is there's really no way to prepare your team to play 60 or 70 snaps in week one. Whoever that starting line is on offense, they're going to play 60 or 70 snaps. You're not going to rotate Chooks out because he didn't play a lot in the preseason. He's tired.
There's really
stamina's tough.
If you look at it from a stamina standpoint, your offensive line doesn't change.
No.
Your cornerbacks.
They're going to play almost
your top two cornerbacks are going to play every snap. Your top safeties are probably going to play every snap, and your quarterback.
Yeah. And a lot of the defense will play a very high percentage.
A high percentage. Bush and, played prior to his injury last year. Bush was on the field for every snap, every defensive snap.
Every snap? Okay. Yeah. I mean, I know that's what you want, but I'm surprised it's every one.
So it's really about 10 of your 22 starters are on the field.
Really don't leave
constantly.
The field.
Constantly.
Right. And that's, they've never even played probably 40 snaps in a game since last year. You know, yeah. It's been a long stretch.
So you got to try to replicate that as much as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, you can.
Tough to do.
And even at practices. There's still practices.
It's very
Everybody
different.
Knows.
There's a lot bigger break in between plays,
yeah.
And you know the intensity is not as high, and in some cases the heat's not the same. I mean, you're in Miami week one. Look out, you know.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting, but I'm looking forward to seeing a game.
Yes.
Of course, we'll be up there all weekend. Matt and I will be doing a show from 3 to 6 on Saturday and Sunday,
yeah,
from the Hall of Fame. So you want to hear that on these very airwaves. But we're going to take a break right now. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Matt, we heard from Deontay Johnson yesterday, and I can't bring this up enough. I asked Deontay, maybe we'll play this back later in the show here. We might hear from Minka Fitzpatrick, too.
Okay, good.
There were three receivers in the NFL last year who had 10 games in which they were targeted with at least 10 passes.
Yeah.
It was Davante Adams, Keenan Allen, and Deontay Johnson.
Yep, pretty good company.
And yet people still ask the question, like anytime I go on a national fantasy show, or I do serious fantasy and things who's the Steelers' number one receiver?
Yeah.
And I keep saying,
can't figure it out.
Deontay Johnson. He's their number one guy. Let the targets lead you, guide you here, folks.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I told people that before the season started, yeah. And then it was just reaffirmed, as you said, over and over. And at times, he missed a little bit of time, so maybe the national public was a little slow to... Oh, okay, it looks like Deontay's going to be the guy, and then he gets pulled for a half or gets hurt or whatever, and you get thrown off the scent. But all the numbers are there. They're telling you. It's clearly him.
Yeah, and I know he also led the league in drops last mm-hmm. year. I get that. But the only guys who had more targets than him in the league last year were Adams, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And he missed some time.
He missed some time. I think Adams didn't play week 17.
Yeah.
But basically all those guys were start-to-finish guys. I mean, he's in elite company. There aren't many receivers better than that group in the league right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Diggs and Adams had the two best seasons in the whole year.
Yeah. So, I look at this and I say, okay, what's going to change with that this year? I don't know that...
I think that they know
I think they know who their number one is.
Right, right. They're going to spread the ball around. He's not going to get every target. He may be used in different ways. I hope he's used at different depths of the field.
But I think this year, if he plays all 17 games, you're going to see those same 144 targets. That's not going to go down.
I might go over.
I might even go more than. I don't know.
Maybe 160.
Yeah, I don't know if they're
going to
throw the ball quite as much.
Right. That pie is
but the 144
smaller.
Targets isn't going anywhere.
I mean, I bet he averages 7 or 8 targets a game.
Yeah,
which
is
what
a number
very
one
healthy
yeah,
number.
That's
right.
A number one receiver type targets.
And I bet there's a couple times where he's, I mean, of course he'll be over double digits a handful of times as he was 10 times last year. I mean, I bet he gets to 12 or 15 two or three times throughout the season too.
Yeah, this is the great thing about where fantasy sports. Helps beat writers out.
Oh,
with
yeah,
their,
they go hand in hand. And
with their, so last
people
year,
that ignore it are foolish.
Yeah.
There's so much information out there.
There were four guys in the league who averaged 10 targets a game.
Okay.
As you
How many did you say, 10 guys?
Four guys.
Four guys, okay.
Who
yeah.
averaged 10 targets a game.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
To average 10 targets a game, you're probably going to have some really big games in there. Obviously, Adams and Allen, Diggs and Hopkins were those guys
mm-hmm.
because they were the four guys that had more targets than Deontay. But Travis Kelce averaged 9.7.
Which is a monster number for a tight end.
Yeah. Johnson was at 9.6 over the course of the season. Calvin Ridley was at 9.5.
And Julio was out a fair amount.
Yeah. Allen Robinson was at 9.4. Darren Waller at 9.1.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another tight end.
Both those guys are clearly the only show in town for their offense, Waller and Robinson.
Juju last year averaged 8. which put him in the top 20.
That might surprise some people.
Yeah.
I mean, the ball went his direction a lot. His ADOT was very, very low.
It was very low. Yeah.
And that needs to change. But, I mean, they still like Juju. I mean, I think a lot of people are under this misconception that, nobody likes Juju anymore. I mean, he gets a ball thrown his direction a lot.
Chase Claypool averaged 6.8 targets per game, which, again, is a good, healthy number.
Especially for a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, he – Justin Jefferson is funny to me. He had the best rookie season basically ever, if not the second best or whatever.
And he averaged 7.8 targets per game.
In the first 2 weeks, this is where I'm going with this
one. He had three targets in each of those first 2 weeks.
Barely used week one and two last year. And even the Vikings, like a lot of draft folks, thought he's a slot. He probably is an outside guy. And then they realized, we don't have anything else. Let's put him outside. And he blew up.
Here are his targets. 3, 3, 9, 5, 5, 11.
Mm-hmm. I bet it heats up.
Their bye week. 4, 4, 10, 5, 13, 12, 8, 11, 10, 12.
Now we're rolling. Yeah, right.
So he really finished the season strong.
Extreme second half.
The second half.
Monstrous.
With Claypool, we kind of saw.
And he also had a really deep ADOT and really deep yards per catch, Jefferson.
Yeah. There were people last at the end of last year going, what happened? Why isn't Claypool playing as much? He should be out there more. Here are his target numbers for the year.
Okay.
2.
Yeah.
3. 4. The bye week. 11.
Okay.
4. 1. 9. 13. 10. This is where it started to pick up a little
bit.
Yeah,
this is when he's really
8,
rolling.
9. 4. 6. 8. 6. 11. He had 109 targets last year as a rookie.
As a rookie. Yeah, that's where originally why I brought up Jefferson is, especially last year, and we always talk about this with running backs, these coaches aren't going to target the rookie receivers double-digit times in week one with no preseason and just a little bit of camp to look at them. You know, like, it's going to take a little while to gain the trust. And from what I recall, Claypool was the Coates, Martavis, deep guy from early on. I mean, that showed up. But then they gained more and more, you know, hit him on a slant, you know, use him in a variety of ways. And I think that's just touching the surface.
Here are the guys who also averaged the same number of targets as Claypool, 6.8.
Okay. Big number, though.
Will Fuller.
Yeah.
Russell.
Who's very productive when healthy.
Yeah. Russell Gage. Mike Evans.
Yeah, wow.
T. Higgins. Evan Engram. He averaged more targets per game than Jarvis Landry, I should say.
Wow, who was really their number one start
much
to finish,
of the year,
basically, yeah.
You know,
and the Steelers threw the ball a lot more than Cleveland, but
he averaged more targets per game than Corey Davis.
Wow, he just got paid big.
Big money.
Right. No, I mean, a lot there. First off, the attempts do need to come down collectively.
Yeah.
I do think things will get spaced out a little more. I mean, I think the tight ends, I think, will collectively catch more passes. You know, maybe not Ebron's numbers might not go up, but I bet the tight end room catches more balls. I bet the running back room catches a lot more balls.
Well, here's the thing. Ebron averaged 6.1 targets per game last year.
Pretty big.
That's a big number, too.
It's pretty big, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kelsey was just under 10, and he's in a world of his own.
Yeah. I mean, that's essentially, you know, I'm looking here, that's more than what Dallas Goedert averaged. That's more than what Mike Gesicki averaged.
Miami didn't have any weapons either.
It's more than what Hayden Hurst averaged with Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think you may see those Ebron numbers come down a little bit.
A little bit.
Maybe he gets 4 to 5 targets per game instead of the 6.
And Freiermuth gets 2.
Yeah. Somebody's going to, you know,
the running back numbers are going to change.
Roethlisberger averaged 40.5 attempts per game last year.
Okay. See, I've never done
projections. Which led to league.
And that's how these guys do projections. Mike Clay and some of these, and a lot of them is fantasy-oriented, back to your point that there's a lot to glean from fantasy knowledge and research. So let's say Ben gets to 36. What do you think the goal is?
I think it's 35, 36, somewhere in that. So you're only taking 5 passes off the docket, but over the course of 17 games,
right?
That's 100 passes, 100 fewer
passes.
Pass attempts.
Right, and of course you – I was going to say, on a typical game, who's going to get those 35? How do we divvy those up? That's really hard to do, and it doesn't work over the course of the year because somebody misses a game or game plan specific or, boy, this is an Ebron game. We saw that with Claypool. The one guy we didn't see it with is Deontay, to the original
point. Every game's a Deontay game.
Every game's a Deontay yeah. game. Some are Juju's, some are Claypool's. Rarely is it both. I tend to think every game will be a Najee Harris game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe not double-digit targets. I mean, we're not Kamara numbers or something like that, but I bet he gets 4 to 5 a game.
Yeah, I'm looking down the list here. I'm looking on fantasypros.com here, their target numbers. Again, the information you can glean from the fantasy
right.
world is
there's tons of it.
Looking okay, James Washington averaged 3.5 targets per game.
Wow, that shocks me too.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
Something's got to give. James Conner averaged 3.3 targets per game. That's who I was looking for.
I was actually going to ask you this, but I thought it wasn't something you were looking at. Is I wonder how many running back targets per game the Steelers average start to finish. Like if you go to ESPN.com or whatever, add up all the running back targets, divide it by 16, you said James was between 3 and 4?
He was at 3.3, yeah.
So I'm guessing it's not much more than that, you know, over the course of the year. It's maybe 5 targets go to the running backs per game for the Steelers' regular season.
But what changes with that one is that they all go to one guy.
I was going
to
say, McFarland
well,
will
two
catch
guys.
A few.
It'll be him and McFarland.
Yeah.
But McFarland, I think, steals some of those touches away from a James Washington unless somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, agreed.
Steals some of those catches that Ray McLeod had.
I would say the fifth receiver might just disappear in the pecking order. So it doesn't sound like much to take 5 attempts per game away from Ben, but if we think the running backs are going to get at least one more, maybe 2 per game, Deontay's not going to go away. The tight end room's going to stay the same or go up a little. Well, it doesn't add up.
Yeah, right.
You know, it doesn't.
They got to come from somewhere. So the receivers, I think, have to be more efficient. You mm-hmm. can't have the drop passes that they had last year.
Well, they got to throw deeper, too.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Make it count more.
Yeah. I think you want to make sure that those you make the most out of those 35 attempts or 36 mm-hmm. attempts. It can't be, okay, we know going into this we're going to drop 2 or 3 balls somewhere.
Right.
Or they're going
to
be some wasted plays.
I just think they need to count more, too. I mean, throw an 8-yard pattern in the middle of the field on 1st and 10.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big early down success rate guy. It's a Warren Sharp thing that I've stolen from him. The Steelers are at the bottom of the league. I mean, Ben was part of this, but Ben was in 3rd and unmanageables a lot compared to the rest of the league. You know, that needs to change more than anything.
Well, and I think that being able to run the ball more effectively will help change that.
Without question.
They ran the ball yesterday, did the inside run. And in Saturday's practice, it was kind of a mess because they were had a bunch of backup offensive linemen out there. And you know, Trey Turner
right
was
now.
Sitting out as well. He got a Veterans Day off. So it was all backup linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday they ran the ball. It was much more effectively. Kalen Ballage was getting some run with the twos because Benny Snell was out. Looked good.
I'd like to see him beat out Benny Snell. We haven't really had that conversation. I think it's very possible, and it's a training camp battle that is worth monitoring.
Flying under the radar a little bit. Yeah.
If he hit, I mean, hits is a strong word. If he continues to improve in his career in his third stop, he's better than Snell. I mean, he's more gifted than Snell. He's
absolutely
bigger. He's faster. He's a better receiver. That I think this backfield will be in better shape if he grabs a hold of the true
We've seen that happen
job.
Around the league a little bit with some guys that were just guys at their first or one or two stops, and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden they get an opportunity and boom, it works for them.
That happened a little for Ballage with the Chargers last year compared to his Dolphin years.
Nobody was talking about Mike Davis much.
No, he was a 4th-round pick.
And Wayne Gallman. And all of a sudden, these guys get an opportunity, and it's like, oh, he's not bad.
Right. I mean, James Robinson's the super example. But the thing about Ballage is why I didn't really like him coming out of school early in his career was this guy's really big, looks great, he's super fast. He catches the ball really well. I'm like, well, what don't you like, Williamson? Well, he's not very skilled. You know, he didn't hit the right holes, patience, vision, set up blocks. He kind of just gave him the ball and he was a big athlete. And vision him in high school just being the best guy in the field and they hand him the ball and he runs over a kid and then goes 80 yards.
There's a little bit of Jalen Samuels there. You're kind of learning the running back position, the ins and outs mm-hmm. of the running back position at the NFL level.
Right. And the now difference he's in his third or fourth year.
The difference is that he's a much more talented guy.
He's got a much yeah. I mean, he survived without the skills.
Yeah.
And now he could be an asset with them if he's developing them. And you know, he's had a couple different running back coaches, maybe that helps too, but he's was better last year than he was early in his career. That's promising.
Yeah. But I think there might be something there, but that pie you know, that you know, you talk about with the I think
the
it's
target
a,
pie.
It's a the target pie is going to be a little smaller this
right,
year.
Right, right. I mean, it has to hurt Deontay a little. Like, I bet he's not going to be.
Again, I think
he can't
gets,
add it all up.
I think he gets to 100. Again, 17 games, 145 targets or mm-hmm. so would be great. It would still be probably among the top.
Yeah.
10 to 15 in the league, but it's not going to be the target share that he had last year.
It might be the same percentage, but it won't be the same. I don't think he has 10 games of 10.
Right.
You know what I mean? And hopefully his ADOT's a little higher, though, and it's a yard or two deeper down the field, and maybe his yardage is the same.
Yeah.
Or even better.
Well, I think that's where, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, I think his arm has looked better this year in camp.
Good.
Again, it's such a tough comparison because, as I've said before, last year you were just, okay, he's throwing the football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the
bar
was much lower last year for him than it is this year. But I've still been I've liked what I've seen of him throwing the football down the field. They were working on deep balls yesterday.
Good.
And he was connecting on those things with regularity. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, that's pretty
good. I
hope
they work on intermediate.
Yeah. You know,
middle of the field, in cutting routes, things like that. You can definitely judge his arm a little bit sitting there live watching him. There's no question. But I would be very interested, and there's no way they're going to ever replicate this in practice, is what about when someone's hanging on him or his feet aren't set or, you know, the uncomfortable throws that he's been so good at over his career.
Yeah. Well, he made one of those the other day in, I believe it was seven shots, or maybe they were working a red zone. Whatever it was, he mm-hmm. had one where, I think it was a red zone drill, where he got some pressure from his left, stepped up to his right, and kind of made a little sidearm throw, I think, across his body to I think it was Deontay Johnson crossing in the back of the end zone, touchdown.
Not the way they drew it up.
Yeah.
Know. Right, improv.
It was a little improv, so he still has that capability.
Oh, I'm sure. I know his mind does.
And, yeah.
You know,
he still sees the game that way.
I mean, arm strength throws to me are whenever you really can't step into it and you got to drive it into a tight window, even 12 yards downfield. It doesn't have to be, you know, 50.
Yeah. But interesting that, you know, those numbers are there. You can find those on fantasypros.com. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. For the most complete selection of Steelers merchandise, from official sideline gear and authentic memorabilia to the a selection of jerseys and terrible towels, visit one of the official Steelers pro stores located at Heinz Field, Grove City Premium Outlets, or the Tanger Outlets, or visit online at shop.steelers.com for all your Steelers merchandise needs directly from the team. We'll be back with more right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
We are back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Matt, one guy we didn't talk about when we were talking about that offensive pie is fullback Derek Watt.
Yeah, true.
Now, I don't expect him to be a huge part of that.
I don't think he's catching 10 passes a game.
No.
Right.
But I think you might see him catch 10 passes this season.
How many of last year? Five or six, maybe something?
No,
like that?
Not even that many.
Not even that many?
Yeah. I don't know if he had one.
When they signed him, I thought it was really interesting because he's not Dan Kreider, hammerhead, just blow people up, much different than, I should remember, who was the fullback for him? Rosie Nix,
yeah.
You know, much different type than him.
Roosevelt Nix was a converted nose tackle.
Right. I mean, he comes downhill and
this
punishes
is a guy
linebacker.
Who played fullback.
Yes. I think Watt's much more of a use-check guy, and by all reports, he's not playing tight end, but he's detaching.
They're using
him
like an
H-back
and things of that nature. So I think there will be some kind of role for him like that this year.
If he's only be on the field, he at least has to have the threat of they might throw him the ball.
Right.
You know, he's not going to run, you know, he's not going to break a million tackles and go to the house with 4.2 speed or something. But if you're going to leave, you at least have to honor him.
I think they want to use him as the additional blocker, maybe not run as many two tight end sets,
mm-hmm.
but you have him on the field instead of a tight end.
Yeah.
He's a better blocker than Ebron.
Yes. It might be better Brockton than any of their tight ends
right now. Yeah. I think there's a protection
and in the run game.
Yeah, there's a backs on backers, I wasn't real impressed with him.
Really?
His one-on-one stuff. But again, I think with Canada's offense, we've seen him do some stuff where he lines up on the wing like an H-back mm-hmm. and then leads the back through the hole.
I wonder what Najee's experience is out of two-back. I don't know that off the top of my head. I mean, does he prefer a fullback? Does he not?
I don't know.
Again, I don't think it's going to be the eye with a, running ISO all day.
I know when he ran, he had a long run the other day, and it was behind Watt.
Was it?
When they ran goal line yesterday, and he scored, it was behind Watt.
Even just goal line would go a long way.
Yeah.
Situational. I mean, even if you're broadcasting what you're going to do, it's third and one,
Yeah.
At least have that option. I've actually had people recently ask me, Why is Derek Watt even on this team? If his last name was Lawley or Williamson, would he be a Steeler?
People need to tap the brakes a little bit on that stuff.
Exactly. I know he's making a fair amount of money. Is he worth that money? That's a conversation.
He's a great special teams player.
That's the thing, right?
That's what gets overlooked here. You basically signed him to replace Tyler Matakevich.
Right. Nobody asked about Tyler
Matakevich. And Rosie Nix.
Right. Or Hayward Bay. Or no one asked those questions about those guys when they were the best special teamer on the team.
And they were making a lot of money.
They're making a lot of money. So,
yeah.
And Matakevich is making a good buck right now for the Bills. I mean, core special teamers are important.
Yeah. But let's hear from Derek Watt. He spoke to the media yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Derek, do you know what the role is going to be? It seems like some practices you're heavily involved and some not. Have you been able to get a feel of what they want from you yet?
It's still early in camp. Everybody's got to, have an opportunity to kind of show the coaches what they got. And it's a new offense this year, so kind of still feeling things out, and we'll kind of see as we progress. But definitely, there's a focus to try to get involved a little bit more and try to show them that I'm versatile enough to kind of bring more to the table.
Today was big for you. They gave you a lot of reps out there in different positions.
Yeah, today was big. I did some work at tight end and individual drills, and got involved in the offense in short yardage goal line day. Guy, I better be involved in short yardage goal line day, otherwise what the heck am I doing? So
you caught one deep down here too.
I did. I caught the one. It was nobody covered me, so got it out that way, and Minka gave me a good hit at the end there.
Did they ask you to go into tight end drills, or is that just something
you want? The coaches they move guys around a lot during camp, try to get them in different situations and see, like I said, kind of see what guys can do. So I know today they wanted me to go with the tight ends. I did the one with the running backs the other day, so with the inside backers. So today I went with the outside linebackers and tight ends.
They call that the F in Matt's offense.
Yeah, the F, yep.
Do you get when they call a fullback wheel route? You're like, oh my God, finally, like it's my time to shine. What's the reaction when they tell you to go out there and do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily. I mean, it's a wheel route, but it's not like the ball is going to me by any means. I don't even know if I'm the first read, but when they don't cover you, Ben said he looked out there and he thought he didn't see it properly because I was so wide open, nobody was there. So, definitely, if there's a chance I go out for a route, definitely excited, always ready for the ball. Any chance you get to touch the ball is a bonus for me. So definitely excited anytime you get to run around and have an opportunity to catch the ball.
Derek, did you do any research on Canada and some of the plays that he ran at the college level? He used the fullback a lot, H-back a lot. Or were you just kind of waiting to see how things come to you?
So I actually was with Coach Canada for a year at Wisconsin. I'm very familiar with him. And Coach Faulkner, I was with him as well. He's the running backs coach here. He was at Wisconsin as well. So I have familiarity with both of them. But definitely, I know he when he was at Pitt and other places that he definitely used my role a good amount in just trying to, like I said, I'm a little familiar with it and I've got a good feel for it now. So just excited to see how it all pans out.
Is that like an every game kind of thing with him, or does he? Because I remember at one point, I think during the off season, you talked about matchups, like when he looks at the opponent, he says, okay, we can do this against certain opponents. How does he do that?
No question, it's about matchups. I mean, there's definitely, some schemes work better against certain teams than others based on their defensive structure or personnel. So it may be, like you referenced earlier, there could be a game, you play a ton, and there could be a game where it's not so much. And obviously the game, the course of the game, the way it plays out dictates that a little bit as well. So it's kind of all situational based, and you honestly, you never know. It could be heavy one game and not so much the other. So you really never have any idea.
Derek,
one more.
You played a little bit of tight end with Chargers. Is it anything that you can use here as well, or is that just you have to learn the whole. Are you comfortable with that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with it. Obviously, I'm not as big as a tight end body, but I got familiarity with Coach Alfredo. Was my running backs coach with the Chargers. Now he's coaching the tight end. So, I've got that good chemistry with him to kind of, you know, take that and the coaching, and we've got a good relationship to, you know, help me improve and learn for those things if it does come down to that, and playing a little bit more of that role to kind of develop those skills.
Are you still bringing in the oatmeal?
That's it.
Every day, yep. We bring oatmeal every day, all of us do. So.
That was Derek Watt, the Steelers' fullback, and I don't think it can be stressed enough. He mentioned, you know, he has a relationship previously with Matt Canada,
mm-hmm.
with Alfredo Roberts, the tight ends coach, with Eddie Faulkner, the running backs coach.
He's worked with these guys.
If you look at...
Everyone's like, oh, he's got a relationship with the outside linebacker. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's more reasons than that.
They know him and what he's capable of. We've talked about it in the past with Vance McDonald when he came over. The coaching staff really didn't know him all that well. So what happened last year with Derek Watt, the same similar thing. And I know Canada was here and Faulkner were here. But the rest of the coaching staff really didn't know him in terms of his
game preparation, that kind
of stuff. And Watt last year missed most of training camp.
Oh, yeah.
He was still coming back off of a surgery, mm-hmm. off-season surgery.
He was a new guy.
Then he got nicked up a little bit during the season.
Sure.
Had a concussion, had some things happen there.
A couple things, right?
Yeah, a couple of things that they had a plan for him, maybe not so much as the fullback, but as a core special teams guy.
Well, the second they signed him, they had a plan for him.
Right,
and
yeah.
They gave him, it wasn't like they gave him throwaway money.
Right.
You know, I mean, they tell you what they think with where they put their money. And it wasn't like just to make TJ happy. And,
that's ridiculous.
You're going to save $5 million a year on TJ by giving this guy. He's a great special teams player, right?
Yeah.
And they had a plan for him on offense. I think we're starting to see it.
Yeah, I just think that because of the injuries, Randy Fichtner said it a couple of different times last year, we'd like to use him here, but, he missed the entire preseason. Like, we didn't get a chance to incorporate the fullback into the plan all that much. Again,
he's not the same as Rosie Nix.
And he just said it there. There are games where you may have a heavy fullback usage, games where you may not play fullback at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on, what kind of defense do they like to play?
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of defensive line do they have? What are their linebackers like?
Interesting, because I hadn't thought of it from that angle. Week one, they played the Bills. The Bills led the league by a wide margin in nickel. They almost any situation, which is really a nice way to operate. I mean, when Milano's a really good coverage linebacker. We know who Edmonds is. He's a super talented, top 10 type of pick.
But if the Steelers put the fullback on the field,
I think they'll stay in nickel. So I think you'll see the fullback.
You want to put another big body out there against their light guys.
Yep. I mean, in a way, it's enviable because remember the year before they drafted Bush, the Steelers were really heavy in base personnel, really light in nickel, real heavy in dime. And when you were in dime, they ran on them. And when they were in base, they threw on them. They didn't have a Bush. They were looking for that second level do-it-all guy. Well, some of these teams, going back to like Navarro Bowman and Willis when they were there, they were the first tandem I remember that just never left the field. And Seattle in their heyday with Wright and Wagner. If you can stay in nickel a lot, you don't tip your hand that way. I mean, it may not always be ideal, but then you're going to get fullbacks and extra tight ends and a sixth offensive lineman. And, there's no right answer, but expect that. I bet Watt plays a lot in week one is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. And as you heard him say there, he was working with the tight ends as a blocker. As I mentioned, they're working him as a kind of an H-back type player that gives you that flexibility.
I mean, Clint Didier comes to mind, and Chris Cooley. Like, Washington, starting with Gibbs, used that H-back a lot, where he was never – they didn't line him up on the line of scrimmage, but he was back off the line of scrimmage,
which is what they're doing with the Watt.
Yeah, they'll put him in motion. Wolf always talks about the trap game. You can use him that way, too, on a run. You let a linebacker come free through the B-gap or C-gap, and he crushes him coming from across the line of scrimmage or flares out on an easy catch. If people are going to play off of him because they're worried about others, there's value there. I mean, again, if he's on the field, a more talented player isn't. I mean, that goes without saying. But if he's useful. I think he's very useful.
He's a chess piece.
And what I liked most was well, if I'm not out there in short yardage, then there's something's wrong. You know, like, yeah. What am I doing here? I think that's how he said it. Like, I mean, and again, it'd be nice to have Rosie Nix for short yardage. I mean, guys like that are, but they're one dimensional. You know,
yeah.
No one even has to cover them hardly.
Well, and that's what happened yesterday. Again, he started off on the left wing, on the left side of the formation, just offset from the from the tight or from the left tackle.
Yeah, he's not in line.
He's not in line. He was just behind him. And at the snap of the football, again, we've seen him go in motion at those things. We've seen him crack, as you mentioned, coming across the formation and you know, smacking one of the linebackers. In this instance, he just ran a straight wheel route down the sideline, and nobody went with him.
And but nobody went with him.
It was a 30-yard gain. That's going to happen in games.
You don't have to be a supreme athlete or do a lot after the catch. And And Ben's going to see that every time.
Yeah.
You know, so – or even – you get him matched against somebody like his brother. You know, like if you're playing a 3-4 type of team and a Dupree Watt type of guy.
Well, again, if he's taking that guy out of the equation.
Well, then you win, right.
That's a win.
Right. And he might beat them with a route across the league.
So, that again, I think he can be a chess piece. Is he going to be out there as much as Juszczyk? No.
Right,
you know, if it's 15 snaps a game, okay.
Yeah, right. I mean, even the Ravens, I forget the guy's name, but they employ that fullback that's like 280 pounds. I mean, he's a guard. I mean, he's not catching the ball at all, but because they can do that, it gives you a different personnel package. And with him as a guard in the backfield, Andrews is really a receiver.
Right.
if you're like, boy, I gotta get heavy defense against a tight end and a fullback, well, Andrews is gonna beat you, you know, like. There's a lot of, I wish I was better at it, but I do like having fun with putting different fivesomes, as you know, offensive packages together. Watt, Ebron, a sixth offensive lineman, and Harris and Claypool. You know, I mean, just you can mix and match them like crazy.
They haven't used the six offensive linemen much.
I've just been totally speculating
this year. They haven't used it nearly as much. And maybe it's because they don't have their guys out there right now. Haven't seen that in training camp at all.
That would be Moore or Haig.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're playing right now. Yeah.
That's interesting. It's something to keep an eye on. I mean, one thing Canada does, which is not the same as six offensive linemen, is he will go unbalanced a lot, at least historically.
Yeah.
And which can cause people, you know, problems.
We've seen some of those overloads with the tight ends and things of that nature. There's nothing that says you can't make one of those tight ends an offensive lineman instead.
Right. But, yeah, exactly. Maybe that's Moore or Haig.
Yeah.
They just have a history of doing it, but that was before Canada.
Yeah, we'll see. It's all new this year, but, you know, we could see Derek Watt as more usage this year from him. That's going to do it for the first hour. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We'll be back with hour two right after this.